as the summer heat starts to cool off and the kids go back to school, drag queens all over are getting ready for drag queen season, which has many late summer pride celebrations and, of course, Halloween, the season of the witch. But just because Drag Race is secretly filming right now doesn't mean there's not a shortage of fabulous shows featuring new and exciting gender blenders.
Today we take a sneak peek at Dragula Season 3, Camp Wanakiki Season 2, and the fall lineup of Cooking with Drag Queens. Plus, another LGBT media empire bites the dust.
Pose gets an intergenerational love story.
Taylor Swift wants you to know she's bi.
And the sexy quarterback everyone hates, Tom Brady, has a son who doesn't like football. Ay, Dios mío! I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Me, 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 me. Ha, 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 ha. Boom, 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 boom. I'm back, bitches!
You sure are.
Yes, honey. Summer heat is here, and I already feel things are cooling down. I just got back from Texas.
Was it hot down there?
It was 105, and it's not because of the heat. It's because of me. I got to perform in Bulimian Rhapsody and Chick Fellatio's unbearably good show, Unbearable, at the Iron Bear, and it was hot drag season. And honey, it was like, I know that the theme was supposed to be like Slutty Queens, which is the theme for every show.
Yeah.
But it was really like nude drag queen was the
oh,
theme.
Oh, really? Did you get naked?
Well, I showed as much skin as I could.
Well, I must. It's hot to do drag in Texas.
Yeah, I wore my hot weather wig. I wore my pride butterfly wings. I wore as little padding as I could just so I wouldn't pass out as I'm doing my dynamic 8-minute dance medley number tribute to Broadway stars.
You did 8 minutes?
Yes.
Was that pre-approved?
Yes.
Did they know it was going to be that long?
Why are you acting like it's something bad? At the end of it, I got a standing ovation.
Okay.
I saw $100 bills going into that bucket. Okay. And I was like, please, people, break it up into 50s at least. No, there was people who came like all over from social media to come see me.
Aww,
and especially, well, it was Clay White, the muscle bear, who's also a drag queen.
Bera Fawcett. Yes.
And all his friends there. And they were very confused. Mm. So from the neck up, they're like, from the neck down, they're like, yeah, baby.
Because they're the muscle chasers, right?
Yeah, they were very good looking men themselves. Mm. But I think I got their dicks confused.
Yeah.
And I like that.
And well, the drag does come off.
Oh, yeah. Well, the in their mind,
personality, unfortunately, stays.
In their mind. In their mind, I think they just see me as this, you know, I was born fully formed from the thigh of Zeus.
Well, because maybe they don't know who you are. And so they just, what they see is what they, you know, what you see is what you get.
What you see is what you get. Then Ernestine. That was Ernestine, right?
Was it Ernestine?
Flip Wilson's, yeah.
Yeah, that's who it was. I forgot her name for a second.
Ernestine, honey, that is drag history 101. Go back to school. You're not going to learn that from Pose. You're going to learn that from Feast of Fun. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, pray tell we'll bring up Ernestine one of these days, I'm sure.
He's getting around to it. Mm-hmm. But he's too busy coughing with... I'm feeling sorry for myself. Bah, bah, bah. Listen, you know, I live for Pose, and
It's Geraldine, by the way.
Geraldine. Oh, yeah. Did I call her Ernestine? I'm so sorry.
That's why I was just like, wait a second, I'm confused.
Geraldine,
I have to Google this real quick.
We'll see. That's what Mark's fact checking here.
Pray tell? Tell us about Geraldine.
Pray tell. But
so,
yes.
Clay White showed Kayla.
It was awesome.
And you had a porn star show up.
Of course I do. Clark Rogers, honey, in the flesh.
How is Clark doing?
He's doing great. He looks fabulous. He's a star. He's working on an album. Everybody's working on an album in Texas.
Well, that's why you go to Austin, Texas, right?
That's
Austin City Limits. You're like, get out there, do the music, and get onto it.
If I ever get on Drag Race, and one day, goddammit, I'm going to be the oldest Drag Race contestant. I'm just going to tell you that. But if I ever get on Drag Race, I'm going to go to Austin, and I'm going to spend my $100,000 that I won by being America's Next Drag Superstar on an album. Mm. And it's not going to suck.
You know, Fausto, they all say that. They all say my album's going to be the one that's not going to suck.
You know, right now, drag queens are being sequestered. Let's go back to Texas. Oh, Texas. Yeah.
But Texas.
Just really quickly, okay. Drag queens have been sequestered. They're somewhere in L.A. filming the new generation of annoying complainers on Twitter who don't want to meet with their fans because they're tired.
Or smile or take photos.
But in Austin, Texas, the drag scene is wonderful. It's so beautiful. The queens are so diverse. They say, you know what? If you don't want to contour, it's fine. If you don't want to wear high heel shoes, I might throw a little shade. But still, we love you. We accept all kinds of diversity. Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, you know, it was just a really wonderful, diverse group of people. And I just had such a good time.
What was your performance like for people who didn't see your performance?
Well, my performance is usually a manifestation of culture. It's a combination of sounds and moans and music from different sources to create a soundscape that electrifies and entertains people for long periods of time. And they're always entertained with my shows.
And musician Caleb DeCasper, who was just a guest a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he was there and he came to your show. How's he doing?
He's doing great. I went to see him perform.
Yeah.
And
who was more entertaining, you or him?
Well, I think we just serve different. It's like saying, what do you like better, fried chicken or lasagna?
Funny.
And I'm like, well, sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't. Or sometimes you feel like both. But yeah, I want to do a shout out to Miss Ann Thorpe, who I'm trying to get on the show. Mm-hmm. She was brilliant. Mm-hmm. And her drag daughter, Pam Dulce, who's Mexican sweet queen who had just gotten her start, and of course the Chilic, Fellatio, and Bulimia and Rhapsody, and all the queens in Austin, Texas, who are so excited right now because Bulimia and Rhapsody and Louisiana Purchase, or I call her Wheezy, got married.
I know, like a month ago.
And they scissor sistered on the stage to make it official.
Oh, did they really?
Yes.
They bumped their tux. Oh, they're tuck bumpers.
And it was delicious and fantastic. And I can reveal this now, Louisiana Purchase, right after she was done taping our show.
Our podcast. That we did with her
in the past.
Yeah.
Got sequestered and went to Los Angeles and ate Taco Bell for a whole month while they filmed Dragula, the third season. And now she is starring in Dragula and she's a front runner. And everybody's very, very excited about Dragula season 3 because of her.
Well, she has the looks, she has the style, but most importantly, she has the brains, you know? Because she was a writer, right? She lived here in Chicago. She was a music writer.
She's a journalist.
So she's a thinker. And I love drag queens who are thinkers.
Yes.
Not stinkers.
That's
wash
my job.
Your drag, girls. Wash your drag.
I was fresh off of Amazon Prime, honey. People are like, the price tag is still on that. I'm like Mini Pearl. I'm planning to return it to the store.
Let's talk about your shoe wear.
So I have a hard time because I'm a thick and juicy girl. And I don't know how Latrice Oriel does it, but I like to move on the stage. Mm-hmm. And the problem is I rehearse in tennis shoes that are padded. And then when I get to the show, I put on the heels and I'm like, ow, 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 ow.
It's torture. It's physical torture.
And the heels that I had gotten to wear, I thought would be fine. They were like orthopedic heels, but they were not.
Grandma.
They were not as good as they could be. And so when I got to the show, like all the women in the audience were like, you look like you're in a lot of pain. You should take those off and just wear your sneakers. And I was like, okay. And so I did.
All the women gave you permission?
All the women were like, banish the bra and burn the heels.
All right.
So I did it, and I'm glad because Chick Fellatio's performance, she had a big bottle of pills that she spilled all over the floor, showgirl style.
That's so showgirls. She has seen that movie, right?
Yeah, of course they
have. That's rude.
And I was like, girl, you're going to break my knees. Mm. And then someone's going to have to do my role in the show.
So he's going to have to do my 8-minute Broadway medley of weird songs.
No, so it was crazy because she would like put pills in her mouth, and she went up to Caleb and she spit him in his face.
And did he eat him up?
And he was like, yes!
More.
So it was really great. It was a really wonderfully diverse crowd. I just want to do a shout out to all the wonderful people who listened to the podcast, who came to see it. It was really wonderful to see you guys all there and to meet you face to face, including, I don't forget their names, but it was a young, what is the name of the person who studies bugs?
Insectologist.
No, there's a different name.
Entomologist.
But they were, it might be that. And so they were at a conference about butterflies. And so I showed up as a butterfly and they're like, you made our week perfect. And so I just, you know, dazzled them with my butterfly wings.
That's so sweet. Entomologist.
Entomologist.
But I'm sure.
Sounds like somebody who eats a lot of pastries.
But I'm sure a butterfly has a different, somebody who does that is probably different.
No one suspects the butterfly.
Lepidopterology, something like that. So lepidopterology is the study of butterflies. So a lepidopterology.
I just like butterflies. You know, they go from Canada to Mexico, just like me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, have sex with Canadian men and Mexican men.
They went to
Mexico.
That's
basically my sexual experience. It's like I go to Canada, I go to Mexico, back and forth, and, you know, I put my pollen all over the place, and I make beautiful flowers.
You have not been to Mexico since 1991.
I know, but, you know, having sex with Mexican men counts, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, that is true.
So it was great, you know, and I'm just fluttering around, and I just had a wonderful time, and Austin is just... It's an exciting, thrilling place to be. It's brutal to do drag in the heat, and everyone's very excited about Dragula. It premieres on August 20th. I'm not sure if I can say that.
Yeah, it's listed.
It's listed. Okay, so there you go, people. And Louisiana Purchase. They do not call her Wheezy on the series.
Ever? At all.
But everybody, after we taped that show in Austin, calls her Wheezy.
Wheezy's a good name.
It's a very good name. Well, it's the Jeffersons.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what George Louise. Jefferson, Louise.
Yeah, yeah, of course her name's Louise. That's why he called her Louise.
Wheezy!
You know?
And so Wheezy is a great name, right? And so I'm just like, I'm so excited to see Dragula.
You know, kudos to her. It's like she's a perfect fit for that show. And I just wondered, I love it. And I remember sitting, talking, she was like thinking about doing it, you know, and
she was pontificating.
She was talking about
musing
about doing it and stuff like that. And I just remember us being like, girl, you have an opportunity to be on television. Do it.
Well, it's Canadian television, but it still counts.
It still counts. It's still something, you know? It's a media project, and it gets you some exposure and gets you out there, and people see it. And you know what? What an amazing experience. You know, once you do reality TV show, it's kind of you give a craving for doing more.
And I said to her, it's like, when you get eliminated, do you want to come on the show? She's like, what makes you think I'm getting eliminated? But
come on, Wheezy.
Do you want to know some secrets?
Yeah, I want to know some secrets.
Want to know some tea?
Yes.
Would you like to know the inside scoop about Dragula?
What do you got?
Basically, everything that Vivacious hates about the show is multiplied.
She doesn't like the torture, right?
No. She does not like that. And they're more brutal, more vicious, more deadly. There's a rumor that a drag queen has to go to the hospital.
Ooh.
Because she slays it. I don't know. Louisiana Purchase showed me her body, and I was like, I'm glad I didn't audition for that show. I was like, this looks dangerous.
Was she bruised and battered?
Yeah. I was like, and that's not her wife's doing. That's the Boulay brothers.
Gosh, they're just... kudos to you, Boulay brother, that you get to torture drag queens, and they're applying to be tortured.
I'm like,
I love it.
What did I fuck up when I got that job? I was like, welcome to Cookie with Drag Queens. Now stick your hand in the deep fryer. Dragula premieres August 20th. It's they've expanded the budget. There are no sound issues this time, which
How
is amazing.
You know?
That's what everybody's saying.
Okay.
You can see from the teasers on the internet that the video quality is much higher. So it's going to be really exciting. Then also Camp Wanakiki is up. our friends, not the Boulay brothers, but the Sugar Baker twins, mm-hmm. are their new Camp Wanakiki season is there. And I got to meet Miss Kitty Litter, Austin, Texas.
Who is the oldest drag queen
ever on any competition show.
She's 60. How old?
I can't say her name, but she is a member of AARP. when she came up to me out of drag, mm-hmm. and I thought she was like an a character actor from Hee Haw.
But they say her name on they say her age on Camp Wanakiki, don't they?
I don't believe they do. They're inconsistent.
Really? So yeah. Some people they're like, "Hi, my name is
I'm 35 years old
from and I'm 35 from Brooklyn."
And to me, it's like. I wish that drag shows and, you know, is all about the drag and not how old or young they are. Mm. I feel like it's, in some ways it's discriminatory. You wouldn't ask somebody like their nationality, for example, on the show.
Why do you think they do that about the age? They just want to give people a
because it's
placement?
Copying RuPaul's Drag Race and RuPaul's Drag Race in perfect. And so somebody somewhere early in the pipeline said, let's tell their names.
Like when I was on Alt for Norge. The reality TV show in Norway, the Emmy Award winning reality TV show in Norway. They had me of all the, I was the only contestant where they had me say my name.
My age.
Yeah, my name and age. Hi, I'm Mark Filion. I'm 51 years old from Chicago, Illinois.
You're old, Blanche. No, but I guess in terms of these type of shows, Kitty Litter is probably the senior queen of all of them.
Well, she has a lot of experience then. She should win.
I wish they all could be winners, but only one of them will win because it's an elimination show. And I'm not talking about pooping in the woods.
And we watched the first episode. We really enjoyed it. It was lovely. The one thing that I did notice, because I know that they filmed it in early May and all the trees have like no leaves on it in the background.
But
they must have come back later in the season with the drone to do like the aerial shots and stuff like that, because it's like a lush green forest.
Now, Chicago's Debbie Fox, who's also been on the podcast, is on this season. Mm-hmm. And Diana Fire, bearded beauty from Portland, Oregon, is going to be on there. And Mexican Queen Barbara Waya from Los Angeles is going to be as well. Also in Camp Wanakiki, they have their first drag king, Boris to Death, who's very exciting. From Kansas City.
That's his name, Boris to Death? I knew it was Boris. That's hysterical.
And he sort of comes across as and I'm just, no disrespect, all truth, right? All tea, no shade. Katya knockoff. We're doing this Russian thing, and he quickly abandons it. So I'm kind of like, I have to say, Boris's makeup is really stunning. So it's really quite visually beautiful. And I like having this weird uncle with a hat walking around this show with drag queens.
And they also have a trans drag queen too, right?
Yes ma'am. Claire, apparently from Portland, Oregon, assigned female at birth, identifies as male, presents as a female or gender non-binary drag queen. So she's nice. She's the pink one.
Strong legs. I noticed strong legs, honey.
And
those legs will carry you far.
In the first episode, they have to basically go through a course, jump on things. What do they call those things?
A thing. Obstacle course.
Obstacle course.
Yeah.
And this is the thing about it is like, I wish they would put more energy into the challenges that they give them to have something more visually stunning, like if you look at Fear Factor, you look at those shows, you could have just bought like a Swiss ball to do your crunches in, and just have them like throw that at each other or something. Just make it more goofier. Like they just use the obstacle course that the kids play with at the camp. And I'm like, girl, this is camp.
Well, maybe next season you can direct it.
I'm busy. I'll be on Drag Race. I'll be working on my thing.
The rumor has it that not one drag queen from Chicago has been culled this year for RuPaul's Drag Race.
They're all busy with their own side projects.
Oh, are you kidding? They all auditioned.
I auditioned too, but I submitted my stuff late, so
maybe
that's the excuse.
But I'm just kind of, from what I understand, some of the drag queens are just, they're all like, oh my God. Who was on it from? It was Soju last year, and and Silky Ganache, and like they're like, did they ruin it for us? Do we forever after the Vixen Soju and Silky has Chicago ruined for Drag Race?
Well, Chicago drag queens need to take a good look in the mirror and say, "Am I a nice queen?"
Mm.
As Coco Peru says, "May all your dreams come true." Unless they're shitty dreams, then I hope they don't come true.
Right.
In fact, you should have better dreams.
Well, while you were off in Texas having fun doing the drag show, I went back home to Erie, Pennsylvania to see my friends and family. And then my family took a little vacation to Western New York, to Salamanca, where the Seneca Nation has a Indian casino. So we stayed.
You went to watch your mom play the slots of the casino.
My mother
Indian
does not
casino.
Gamble. The only person that really gambles in my family is my sister Michelle, and my sister Michelle wins big sometimes. Like, she has won a pot like years ago. She won a pot of like $50,000. It's crazy.
What?
I know, right?
What'd she do with that money?
Huh?
She used it for singing
lessons?
The
usual things you do with money. You spend it on things.
On drugs.
Well, I don't know if it was that. Unlikely, but maybe. But my other sister Michelle was like, this is the perfect vacation for her. It's gambling, she can smoke in the casino, and she can drink. Because basically, like, as long as you're gambling, you drink for free.
Well, is it like, yeah.
You know, I've cut down on my drinking considerably. As you get older, you kind of have to. And as you're like, oh, what's happening with my heart? And so I did play a little Jack Black, video Jack Black. And they give you free drinks while you play. So I was just like, I had like two drinks, and I was just like, okay, that's enough for this trip.
Backgammon.
You know, but it's good to reconnect with my family and to see them, even though it can be difficult when some of the people in your family are Trump supporters. And then, of course,
they just want to make America great again. What is the problem with that?
And then, of course, here we are in this, on the native land in the Seneca Nation, who have fabulous hats, by the way, feather hats, and they have one single feather that comes up in the middle of it, so you know that they're a Seneca. But then it was just like, it's marred by this, white supremacist shootings in Texas, and then the other shooting in on Sunday. So it was like Saturday was a shooting and Sunday was a shooting, and then here I am on an Indian nation, their land that was given to them, well, that was theirs but deeded to them by George Washington, and you're just thinking the horrors that these people have experienced, the horrors that we're going through now, and you just want peace. Can we just live with a little bit of peace in our lives?
I just want to be happy. Is that so wrong?
Well,
I just want to breathe.
Yeah, don't you?
Yes.
Don't you want to breathe?
Happiness is a choice. And who told me that? Bill Clinton.
Oh, really?
He said there will be fascist monsters, prophetically, in charge one way or another of your life in the future. And you cannot let these monsters get in the way of you pursuing your dreams or working to make the world a better place.
Mm.
And I believe me, and when he said that, I was like, yes, Mr. President.
But how do you have fun and stuff like that when all that shit's going down, man?
You have to choose to be a kind, compassionate, loving person. It is not something that necessarily is easy to do. And I'm not asking people to be naive. Believe me. I'm as, Antifa as it gets. All cats are beautiful, if you know what I'm saying. But I think the important thing is to don't let fascism rob you of the ability to love, to be connected to the environment, to your community, and to pursue your creative dreams and be a self-actualized adult. Because they want you to feel powerless. They want you to be scared. That's why those things happen. And love is stronger than hate. If hate was stronger than love, we wouldn't even be here to contemplate it. Mm. And that's what the story of Pose is in a lot of ways. Dominique Jackson as Electra Abundance, no matter how angry she gets, she redeems herself every time Janet Mock writes a new episode.
So true.
Like Ryan Murphy writes writes her as crazy, demented, bitch. And then the next episode, she's a loving mother because Janet Mock writes
well,
it.
Well, it has to be a little bit of give and take.
Right? I haven't seen her signature move in the last couple of episodes. So, that, especially in the last episode, Revelations, which we don't want to give it away if you haven't been watching it, but, shit hits the fan and a lot happens, and I'm sitting watching the fight happen in the home, right?
After the meal, right?
During the meal, and Lulu and Electra are looking at each other, and Electra turns to Lulu and says, "No, stay. This is when it's getting good." And she's kind of a proxy for us at home watching the show. And I'm just like, you know, she just stood up there and knocked that table over because that's her signature move.
Yeah, but it would have changed the balance. You know when you have to do stuff like that. You know when you have to pull the tablecloth off and when to leave the tablecloth on. And that's the time you leave it on.
Any time is a good time for Electra to start a disruption.
Yeah, but then sometimes you want to be the star, but other times you want to be the observer. Mm-hmm. And in that kind of situation, you want to kind of know what's happening. Because, you know, everybody's checking in with each other emotionally, heated emotions, but still they're checking in. And I respect your choices.
I am so excited right now. Everything's Electra. It's season of Electra, honey, and she is unstoppable.
Well, I don't really feel like she had much in this last episode.
I'm just like, if Electra gets killed off, there will be problems.
She won't get killed.
There will be repercussions about
this. She might get a spinoff, like how Florida did on Maude. How she'll have her own show, too. They'll be just like,
well,
you know
Maude was a spinoff of All in the Family.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so maybe she'll get her own show.
Good Times.
Like Good Times when Pause goes off. Or, you know, Pause. I'm sorry. Pose. When Pose goes off the air.
I am electrified by Electra. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of Dominique Jackson. I can't get enough of her. And people are like, she's a terrible actor. And I'm just like, you do not understand the magnificence that Electra Abundance is. I am fully formed. She says all sorts of fun shit. Mm. Now, in the episode Blow and in Revelations, Billy Porter's character, Pray Tell, falls in love with a very young man. Mm. That's a spoiler.
So it's an intergenerational love affair. And I guess, you know, the guy who wrote it, he had that love scene be very, very short. But what we see on the TV, it's very, very, it's long. I mean, there's like, you're like, okay, he's eating his ass in that scene. Okay, he's topping. Wait, now he's topping him? And you're just like, no, really? Okay, that's how it goes. But you know what? I think it's a wonderful thing, and I'm glad it shows it. Because, you know, there's a lot of people, because Pray Tell even says this out, you know, he's having sex with this younger man. And, you know, a lot of men that he knew had already died. So here's a young man who's growing up with the generation before him that he's just not going to know because they're dead before he even hit the scene. And so,
yeah, I was like, is this Pose kind of, or is this Next Door Ebony?
What's Next Door Ebony?
It's a gay black porn site.
Did you just Google the gay black porn site?
Well, I didn't want to give a shout out to Flava Men.
Are those the ones that were in trouble
for?
No, that was Coco Boys that did the
was it Flava Men or something?
Human trafficking.
Flava Men's a good name, but it's a, yeah. But it, yeah, and so we're, go ahead. Sorry.
But also what's wonderful about that too is, you know, he's getting yelled at, you're taking advantage of this young man. And it's just like, but that's not the reality of most of those intergenerational relationships. The guy is not taking advantage of the young guy. He's, you know, he's nurturing him. He's helping him. They're having a relationship. They're growing. Yeah, they might be 20 years apart, but it's, you know, that's still okay.
It's great to see Billy Porter as Pray Tell stand up for himself and own his sexuality, and to see two black men have an extended love scene on television. Mm-hmm. I think this show continues to open doors and to break boundaries and hymens. And, you know, and it's just great the way Pose tackles these topics and makes it fun and exciting. And, you know, it in some ways people are like criticize Ryan Murphy for Disney-fying, for simplifying or, you know, candy coating without the hammer, these very complicated things. And to me, I'm like, in some ways, Ryan Murphy's approach to storytelling and television is very helpful because it's getting these very complicated and very important storylines and actors and demographics shown to a mainstream audience. We need to see men of color fall in love and have sex on television, and we don't see that.
Yeah. We need to see trans people on the television, you know, trans people playing trans characters. You know, we need to see it so that people recognize this and be like, yeah, okay, this isn't some mysterious boogie person. This is a real person with a real life. Now, one person, Blake McIver Ewing, who was in the 1994 film Little Rascals, who is a child actor, tweeted out because the week before his episode, it was a musical episode. So everybody got a number. Even your star, Dominique Jackson, got one.
And, you know, she croaked through that, but I was glad they turned off the auto-tune for her.
And she, well, it was also, you know, it was intentional, like, bad. But anyway, so Blake McIver tweeted out, so Pose is just Glee with a viral load now. And the internet exploded. Because they were just like, you know, and there is some similarity between Pose and Glee. I mean, there is something there.
As Pray Tell would say, hold on a minute, hold on a minute. Is there something wrong with having Glee with a viral load? I wanted to see Glee tackle HIV, and they didn't. And now they're finally taking it on with music and style and substance. Live, work, Pose. Yes.
Exactly right.
I wanted to see HIV more addressed as less, you know, it's part of it is like, I don't like this Hallmark card sentimentality unless I'm watching Good Witch. Mm. That's a whole different thing.
And then you love it.
If I'm going to dive into sentimentality, I want a bathing. Mm-hmm. I want a tub of pudding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want a cup. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem with Glee's final seasons. It couldn't decide what show it wanted to be. It was like, it was this bipolar thing, you know, and in some ways, Dominique Jackson's character of Elektra does run the risk of having the same thing that happened to Janeway in Voyager, where they can't decide what they do with her. Mm. So I hope that, you know, Janet Mock holds on tight to her vision of the character because, and that she and Ryan Murphy can come up to some good conclusion, because I think it's a really important character and one of my favorite things ever on television. And Erica Abundance deserves the best writing she can get.
Elektra Abundance.
Elektra, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Well, Taylor Swift apparently wants everyone to know that she's bisexual.
Like we didn't know that already.
But, you know, she's little baby steps. You know, of course she did. You know, you need to calm down. Now she wore a wig with bisexual flag colors. You know, the lavender and the pink. And we've talked about that when the video first came out. And now she posted to Instagram. She's got a little bracelet with little words that spelled out. And the word is pride. And it has little beads next to it. No, it says proud. I'm sorry. And then little beads next to it that are, again, the bisexual colors.
Ew.
So she's, you know, she's putting it out there for everyone to see. And, you know, I don't know if she's ready to come out and be like, I'm bisexual or something like that.
Who did she have sex with? Soon. What famous male actor was she allegedly having sex? Was it a Brokeback Mountain star?
They dated.
The guy with the ears. Donnie Darko. I don't buy it.
You don't buy her being a lesbian?
No, having sex with him.
No, why not?
Oh.
Well, she was also very young when she dated him. She was basically a child, I think.
Donnie Darko.
I don't give me heterosexual vibes.
I'm just going to say
not
that.
At all.
I'm like, not and he has all. Got more to lose than she does.
Somebody posted a meme recently. I saw it was like, find somebody in your life who holds you the way Heath Ledger holds the Gyllenhaals. And then it's Heath Ledger, you know, holding Jake from Brokeback Mountain. And they look so sweet. And then the next one's him as the Joker choking Maggie Gyllenhaal. And I'm like, oh, that's really sweet.
That's too funny. You know, listen, if Jake Gyllenhaal wants to come out of the closet, he can be part of the Netflix reboot of Boys in the Band.
Oh, it's coming soon, right?
That's in currently filming as we tape this week.
Wow.
So Zachary Quinto, like us, is a huge fan of the pre-Stonewall play turned into movie Boys in the Band. Mm-hmm. That showed, you know, what gay life was like before Stonewall.
They were bitchy, catty queens all suffering from velvet rage.
In other words, nothing's changed.
And, I think we're a little calmer now.
A little bit?
A little bit. Yeah, I definitely think we are. Absolutely.
Not me, honey. I'm a woman on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
I think we're more secure in many ways, you know, because most of those shows, that was, they would be considered middle-aged gay men, weren't they, in the play? I'd say.
Well, one day when I get to that age, I'll tell you what it feels like.
But it was like they didn't, you know, it was hard back then. It was hard.
So it follows a group of gay men who gather in a rich gay guy's apartment for a friend's birthday party. And it has wonderful, wonderful lines. And it's mostly between the friendship between Michael, who's the sort of bougie gay guy who has his own apartment and holds a birthday party for his friend Harold, who is a very bitter, vicious queen who, through the course of the play and the movie, undresses everybody emotionally.
Mm.
So here's a line. So Michael, who's being played by the what is that TV show that my mother loves to watch? The one with the nerds and the comedy.
Oh, the Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory. What the hell's his name? Jim Parsons.
Yeah. So he plays Michael.
And Zachary Quinto is playing Harold.
Okay. So do you want me to play Michael?
Yeah, go ahead.
You're stoned and you're late. You were supposed to arrive at this location at 8:30-9:00.
What I am, Michael, is a 32-year-old, ugly, pockmarked Jew fairy. And if it takes me a little while to pull myself together, and if I smoke a little grass before I get up the nerve to show my face to the world, it's nobody's goddamn business but my own. And how are you this evening? And that was before Lady Bunny got her Lady Bunny voice. So, you know, time
really
marches on.
You pulled off that New York Jew accent,
Thank you. I polish my Jewish affectations. I'm a theater heart, theater person at heart. My mother was best friends. This is a true story. I'm not making this up.
It's true.
With Terrence McNally, the famed, the legendary playwright.
The Ritz. Frankie and Johnny.
Kiss of the Spider movie. Anastasia. Ragtime. You know, he's just done, like, if Terrence McNally did not exist, half of Broadway plays and musicals would not exist. Like, he's just written so much. And he continues to write stuff. Mm-hmm. Boys in the Band, there's a character named Ramon Fornos. Sound familiar? Puerto Rican performance artist, drag extraordinaire.
But that's not Boys. He's in Boys in the Band.
I'm sorry, the Boys, Love, Valor, Compassion, which is kind of an update of Boys in the Band. Sorry about that. And so American Masters did a documentary about Terrence McNally.
Right.
And I got to watch that with my mom and Janet, her friends. And we're sitting
and
there.
They went to school with him and her friends.
They're still friends. Yeah. They've been friends with Terrence their entire lives. And people ask me, like, how am I able to be so brave or to be so loving and stuff? And it's like, because I had loving family and I had a mother who, through a sheer luck, was friends with one of the most important playwrights of the 20th and 21st century. And throughout the course of my mother's life, she maintained a friendship with Terrence McNally, and he would write to her. He came out to her in mail. And so when I came out at the age of 17, it was not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Terrence suffered tremendously. And in watching that documentary on American Masters, I got so moved by the fact that Terrence continues to spend his entire life educating and documenting and writing about what it's like to be in love, what it's like to be a gay man, and to document that and share that with the world. Mm. And I'm able to do this podcast and be the person that I am because of that amazing legacy. And I consider Terrence McNally my uncle, you know? And so it was just so much fun and so moving and it was great. And, and yeah. And so, you know, in terms of Broadway, like Terrence, but man, when he was young, he was chicken, honey.
Oh yeah,
he was gorgeous. Pictures, right? Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Would you think he was always an old man?
Well, you know, when you're a kid, you see them. You know, it's like you think of your parents as sort of older, right?
Yeah.
But they showed pictures of him when he first moved to New York City from Corpus Christi, and honey, he was. You know who he was?
He was like Tab Hunter-ish.
Yes, he totally looked like Tab Hunter, and he was lovers with Edward Albee, who was afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Mm-hmm.
And Edward Albee was so in the closet that he would not consider Terrence McNally his lover.
Aww.
Isn't that horrible? And Terrence McNally was deeply in love with him. And Terrence, throughout the course of his life, had really famous lovers and just a lot like Tab Hunter just had, you know, Tab Hunter was dating psycho actor Anthony Perkins. And Anthony Perkins was never sort of like fully out the way Tab Hunter was. Mm. And I think Terrence McNally sort of struggled with that as well. He just wanted to be loved. So it's wonderful that, you know, in his senior years of his life, he fell in love with Tom Kierdehy, a lawyer and Broadway producer. And they, you know, they're just an amazing, wonderful couple. And it's just really great to see his life and legacy continue. And he's continuing. He had his left side of his lung removed, a third of his right lung removed.
Damn.
And he's still working. He's still writing because he loves what he does.
As long as he's breathing, right?
As long as he's breathing, he's like, type, 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 type. And he just continues working and working and working. He's just and continues. Anastasia is out on Broadway right now. He wrote the entire book for that. Unbelievable.
Is it still playing?
It's on Broadway. Yeah, this is as far as I'm concerned. And,
I thought that came out a few years ago.
On Broadway. At least the documentary made it seem like it is. Mm. Yes, ma'am. It's on Broadway. You can get tickets right now. Call 1-800-BROADWAY-TIX. It's going on tour as well. It's coming to Chicago.
I feel like it already did come, didn't it?
Let's take a look.
That came out. I feel like the show came out a while ago.
Yeah, it was just here last. See, went through Columbus. It's going to Columbus, Ohio in January of 2020.
Mm.
Cleveland, Ohio. Well, I mean, I don't know. What am I? What, Ticketmaster? Come on.
Well, there's good news, too, out there, too, is scientists discovered 37 new galaxies.
Ooh, more people to have sex with.
Maybe, if you can get to them. So the thing that's about these things is like these galaxies were birthed in the first 2 billion years of our universe, which they figure out is about 13.7 billion years. So we came a little bit later. But they say that, they found 37. So imagine, I mean, just how big this universe is. And like, they're like a little tiny speck that they see. And they're like, yep, that little tiny speck we see is the 37 galaxies.
Those astronomers are such size queens.
But they say that if you're on a planet on one of those things, when you look up into space, it'll be much different because the stars would be much closer to you. So you'd have much brighter objects in the sky. But then the background behind them the sky would be much darker.
It's like your teenage skin versus your adult skin with acne. But instead of acne, it's the stars. And either way, it's beautiful. You are beautiful because you're part of the stars. Mm. You're part of the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, what do you feel about the question that a lot of astronomers and philosophers have with regards to life on Earth and the possibility of life on other planets? Because you're a big fan of science fiction.
I'm a big fan of science fiction.
And its major premise is that there is life elsewhere.
I'm a firm believer that there's got to be life somewhere else. I mean, it's just the odds of it are just so great because, I mean, when you look at it, I mean, how many planets are in a goddamn galaxy? And we just found 37. And it was just like a little, you know, so there's billions and billions out there. And they even think that maybe some kind of part of our life even started somewhere else. You know, maybe like a little asteroid hit us. So that idea of panspermia, that life just went everywhere and survives wherever it can. And I'm sure there is intelligent life, probably far more intelligent. And they could have like lived and died a billion years ago.
Life will arise where it can in most places. Mm-hmm. And that's a philosophy I have. But also it keeps me going when I see someone like Trump in office. I'm like, you know what? Love and life is stronger than death and hate.
Mm.
And if it wasn't, we wouldn't be here to contemplate.
Right. But not everything lasts, though.
You know, all good things do come to an end, but, you know, things continue to change and shape and evolve.
Gay Star News is calling it quits. They started in 2012, and they actually were trading, like, on the stock exchange in London or something. They were that big.
We could do that.
You want to trade on the stock exchange?
No, it's Feast of Fun. Foff. NYSEX.
On the New York Stock Exchange. Unfortunately, they called it quits at the end of the month, and they're done. And it was a very important media outlet for a lot of gay news sites and bloggers. People used it as a big resource. But they're just like they blame it on, you know, this kind of rainbow pride, right? Before, corporations used to give money to LGBT publications so they could run ads and do that kind of stuff and support LGBT people working in that environment. And then now we see corporations are just like, you know what? We don't need to do that anymore. All we have to do is slap a rainbow sticker on something and sell that. And that's showing our support for gay, for the gay cause. And while that's great, are we really taking care of our news? And a lot of the the news out there, a lot of places are no longer, you know, have anything. Like the Huffington Post still has like its Queer Voices and stuff, but they don't have anybody dedicated to it full time. It's just like, hey, if something's gay, throw it in here. That kind of thing. So it's, you know, there's always been, you know, there's big shakeups in the gay world. And so I bring this up because it's like, this is one of those places where I would sometimes get news. So I'm going to have to look someplace else for it too.
You're going to have to get your news up from the LGBT hashtags on Twitter.
Maybe from there, I'll have to do that.
A lot of these publications are going to come and go. And what bothers me is that these progressive voices, these voices that have an understanding of our culture and history, are no longer going to be heard. And that's really terrifying, because when you have somebody who's like an 18-year-old intern or a heterosexual cisgendered person who has no connection to the community, no idea of, except, you know, that's why they're doing so much content on RuPaul's Drag Race. That's why, you know, frankly, I know you guys are sick of RuPaul's Drag Race news. I'm sick of it too, you know, and part of it is we talk about it because I'm a working drag queen. I'm part of my community, and that's what I know. And I talk about my history and my knowledge, field of knowledge. But when I see, you know, for example, I see Condé Nast try to copy Cooking with Drag Queens. When I see, for example, I see corporations try to copy this podcast, it really puts a chill down my spine, because they have no understanding of our history and culture, and they have no connection to our community. And they're getting people who are just fresh out of college, who read a book as opposed to live the experience, who don't know, you know, who don't have Lady Bunny's phone number, you know, on speed dial. You know what I'm saying? And to me, it's something that's really important to preserve. And that's why I appreciate the listeners that you guys out there make this show possible, because without your financial support, we would not be here. We would not be able to do this show. We thank you guys so much for giving us a break, and we're going to be coming out with so much exciting new content in the fall. It's really quite thrilling. You know, the new Cooking with Drag Queens episodes, it's going to have Peaches Christ. It's going to have
Vivacious.
Believe it or not, Vivacious is on the show. Finally fucking Lee, Jade Sotomayor, and Monica Beverly Hills.
Muffy Fishbasket from season one of Camp Wanakiki.
And many more legendary queens. Am I missing somebody? There's a couple more.
I think there's one or two more, yeah.
But I don't want to spill it all.
We'll get to it.
We'll get to it soon.
Well, the other ones have already premiered. Erica Clash.
Yes.
And T.S. Madison.
T.S. Madison.
Oh, Disasterina.
Disasterina!
From season two of
Dracula. She's like,
Dracula.
Bitch, where is my goddamn episode?
No, she's season one of, she's season two, right?
Season two of Dracula.
Dracula.
She is definitely one of the most interesting people next to now, you know, Louisiana Purchase. Wheezy.
And Erica Clash.
And Erica Clash has come out of the series. So I'm excited. I have a lot to look forward to, and support LGBT media, because otherwise we have to do stories like this.
Yeah.
Like that bitch, Brooke Houts, beating up her dog on YouTube, has now gotten the attention of the Los Angeles Police Department.
Oh, jeez. What did she do? I didn't watch it. I didn't want to see it.
I didn't want to see it, but I watched it, you know, and it's not, it could be worse, but she basically off camera spitting on her dog, which, you know, Jesse kind of likes that. He licks it up.
Jesse likes it rough. Okay.
Saying that. And she's smacking the dog in a negative way. And the dog, you know, because the dog's like shaking its tail, like, I love you. And she's like smacking its face.
Well, that's rude.
And she's like, let's play a prank on the dog. And I'm just like, she was trying to wrap her door with saran wrap so the dog would run into it and stuff. And I'm just like,
Jesse, I would never do that to you.
I love Jesse's innocent, you know. Jesse's a sweetheart.
But I'm rough with him, though. Like,
he likes it rough.
We fight, you know.
He puts it, you know.
Let's play fight.
But, you know, like, where's my ASPCA for me? He growls and bites me. I'm trying to be nice. I'm bringing him treats and stuff. And he's like, okay.
So what happens is, and you can watch the video I posted on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'll lay on the couch. Jesse's a little tired. He's watching me, but he's like, he's still kind of tired. And then Foster will come over. He's like, intruder alert. Get up. And the thing is, like, the longer we've had Jesse, the more he's into it. And it's not something we've really corrected, because I kind of like it. And I think of Jesse, in his mind, he's just like, I'm going to just show Fausto that I'm here to protect Mark. Like, I don't think he's going to do anything. So when you're not here, I got this covered.
This is spousal abuse.
I mean, we could tell him no.
But it's so cute.
It's so cute.
I can't help it. I'm like, you could bite me. You could bite my face off.
And also, like,
you know, it's love when you look at your dog and you say, you could bite my face off.
Well, the other thing, too, is like, if you were just walking over and you just said, Jesse, no, he would be like, oh, okay, I'm not going to do that.
Well, he feels embarrassed about
it. Mm-hmm.
He's like, he's like, baby, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
So, Foster, you wanted to talk about Tom Brady, who's a very, it was a
when
very
he came sexy, out,
he was a very sexy man that
as
Tom
a football
Brady,
player.
Yes. As the quarterback. But
as a friend of Donald Trump, not necessarily a political supporter, which I think is kind of bullshit. He's like, I'm friends with Donald Trump. I don't have a political opinion. I'm too busy with football. I'm like,
and all my money.
Yeah, he's counting his money. He's a conservative.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but he was very sexy when he first came out. But when you kind of see his political leanings, you're just like,
it's a boner killer.
But then you're also just like, oh, it's, you know, is he just playing to that base who likes football? And you know, I mean, goddamn, I mean, he's so goddamn beautiful. I could probably forgive him anything. But what did he do now?
Well, he got on Men's Health magazine to talk about 100 mood boosters and sex tips.
Oh, really?
No, that's the side. That's the
sidebar.
Well,
he's got that sexy ass Brazilian model wife, right?
Right.
Gisele Bündchen, isn't that
her? He has a lot of kids with her. He has two children. He has two sons, Jack, who loves sports. He wants to try hard. Never wants to disappoint his dad. He's the older one. And then there, his son, whose name is Benny. And I'm like Jack Benny, the comedian, right? Get it? And he likes to do different things, in quotations. Like play with dolls.
Does he say that?
No. And it's great now because I have to do what he wants to do. And when we do that, we have the best time.
Aww.
He's like, oh my God, Dad, you are so hilarious. He loves joking. And I joke back. That's a quote.
So are they dressing up like Disney princesses? Like, what's going on?
I don't know. But, you know, being a good father and being a mother means it's your opportunity to shape the world for the better. That's what Electra says.
Yeah. What is she? When you choose to be a mother, you choose to shape the world.
And that's what we try to do here in the podcast. Mm-hmm. We try to shape the world by sharing with you our knowledge, our experiences, our culture, our sense of history. And we want to be here to do that with you. We see you as not just an audience, but we see you as friends. We see you as family. And we love to hear back from you guys. We love to receive emails and tweets. We're on Instagram, on YouTube, All Feast of Fun.
Find us
anywhere the internet is found. We're on Grindr, Scruff, Jack.
Tweet us.
BTC, Christian Mingles. We're not in Christian Mingles.
No, not at all.
But if we could be, we would.
But if you do find me on Scruff or Grindr, you know, tell me you're a listener, please.
I'll show you my dick pics.
I mean, I might too, but, you know, it just makes it less awkward that
but
way.
What's nice, if you're a premium subscriber, if you're a subscriber of the podcast, I'd be more than happy to accommodate you.
You get the full deal.
What is that? Let me entertain you. Let me make you mine. Let me seduce you and we'll have a real good time. I'll show anything if you're a premium subscriber. You can go to feastoffun.com/plus
for his whole picks.
I don't have hole picks.
Well, you better start taking them. Premium subscribers get hole picks, Fausto.
From Mark, not from me.
No. I would never take a hole. I took a hole pick once and I didn't like it.
I just get so gassy. And it just looks like...
The thing about Fausto's hole pick is that he has a tattoo that he doesn't like to tell everybody about. He has a tattoo of a vagina on his butt cheeks. And his anus is the vaginal canal. And he has a little clitoris and a urethra, like, also on that crack. And he's got the labia major and the minor tattooed on there. And the mons pubis, as well as a full 80s bush of pubic hair back there.
That's so nice. Mm. That's not true.
Did I name all inner or outer labias? I haven't even ever...
I'm really impressed with your knowledge of the female genitalia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you've made love to women.
I've had sex with women. I actually was...
Been intimate.
Hanging out with this guy. He said, you know, you'd be making a wonderful father. You should become a father.
I'm like, you're a daddy.
Well, I tried, you know, and he's just like, well, you should keep on trying. I'm like, well, you know, I'm married to a man. He's just like, just go out and find a girl and make a baby. And I was just like, I'm going to go down to Wrigley Field tonight and just buy a girl a beer.
That happened to me one time. I was walking home and the girl's like, you're so hot. I was like, you're hot too. We could go home and have sex together. We don't even have to use condoms. We can have babies. And she's like, okay, get away from the fag. Why? Because life is a goddamn laugh riot.
I want to remind folks we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you don't want to see us go the way of Gay Star News.
Yes, sir.
Become a Plus subscriber today at feastoffun.com/plus or join us on Patreon at patreon.com/feastoffun.
I'm really looking forward to Boys in the Band. I'm looking forward to the fall. Oh, all the Dragula, the Camp Wanakiki, the Cooking with Drag Queens, Hunty Hunty, and of course Pose on FX. It's coming. And we got a ton of great new interviews with gender blending performers that you've never heard of before, who have a fascinating
always
story.
Always new talent here on Feast of Fun. Yes. And old talent.
Well, it's tomorrow's stars today. Mm-hmm. That's where you get it here, honey.
That's right.
You get the tea before it's even brewed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You get the shark cake before it's cut, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You get the Louisiana purchase before it gets sold.
I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.